Late last night, a spokesman in Havana announced that Cuban President Fidel Castro is ill and had transferred power to his brother, Raul Castro. After that stunning news, most people in Havana went about their business, but in Miami, many Cubans went wild. Over nearly five decades, hundreds of thousands fled Castro's rule. Many of them settled in South Florida. The streets of Miami's Little Havana overflowed with celebrations last night and again today. Joining us now is Miriam Marquez. She's immigration editor and assistant city editor of the Miami Herald. She joined us now by phone from her office there. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Neil. Thank you.
We've seen pictures of people dancing in the streets. What's it like there today?
Well, The mood is a little more tentative. People are trying to make out what exactly it is that's occurring. You know, there's a strong feeling, and it's a feeling within the exile community of wishful thinking that, oh, he's probably already dead, and therefore, as happens in totalitarian regimes, they sort of use the message sparingly until they get to the right moment when they will release it. But I think today it's a little, you know, more cautious. There's a question of exactly, you know, what does this mean for certainly the hardline elements of the exile community. Raul Castro is not an acceptable option as the next in line. So it's interesting. Right now, there's just talk radio is just going nuts with a lot of people talking about let's go and let's deal with it over there. But that always happens.
You mentioned some people believing he's already dead. The news that we're getting is that he's resting peacefully after surgery the last night. But I assume rumors are rife.
Rumors are rife, exactly. And people are, and I think it's generational for a lot of the older folks. I mean, they see this as the opportunity, and they're thinking that his health was such that he was primed to become very ill. Last week when he was in Argentina, Fidel Castro had a stressful time, and I saw some of the reports from there in Spanish television, and definitely he seemed stressed out. A lot of pressure from Argentinian president about some immigration issues, and I think that was coming to bear.
You mentioned a generational split. Looking at the pictures, it seemed like everybody was united.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. People are out there. I mean, I think the, you know, second and third generation Cuban Americans, you know, with their grandparents or their parents were born in Cuba, they grow up being taught about what the struggles were. So in that sense, yes, but I think the difference is, the tactic of what to do from now on. I think the younger folks are much more inclined to wait and see where the Cuban people are going to take this. The older folks are more inclined to say, what can we do to make this happen now? They're the ones that, you know, are pulling the strings when it comes to the Cuba transition report from the Bush administration. They're the ones that, you know, get out the vote for the Republican Party, and they're certainly the ones that, that the leadership of this country looks at for advice when it comes to Cuba.
There are some who believe that if Fidel Castro does die, and a lot of Cubans are going to take advantage of the opportunity and try to migrate themselves.
Yes, and then obviously there is a plan in place in federal, state, and locally as to how to deal. You know, Miami-Dade County has a long history of how to deal with the issues of folks washing up to our shores. So there is a plan in place, and the city of Miami-Dade has already started that plan to just monitor the streets and be more careful, because what we don't want is an exodus from here going out to try to pick up relatives, as happened with Mariel, or just having folks come on over. And the Coast Guard, of course, is, you know, cautiously watching the situation.
Is there a belief that some people in the coming days or weeks or months ahead will be able to get back to Cuba to reclaim houses and businesses that they left so long ago?
That's always been simmering the bottom of this issue of 47 years, you know. There is talk about that. Interestingly, there just happens to be Miami-Dade College has a three-day symposium starting in a couple of days on Cuba, and one of the issues that is going to be discussed is the issue of reclamation. How do you get either money back for your property or some kind of fairness issue? And I think they're looking at what's happened in Eastern Europe, certainly in East Germany, as a model.
A lot of people in Cuba worry about that, too. They've been living in some of those houses for a very long
time. Absolutely. And that's where the point is that, you know, you can start to hear some of the commentators here saying, well, no one's going to go in and take people's property, but there should be some kind of mechanism to ensure that those who are forced to leave, who were kicked out of their own country, have some way to, you know, get some kind of compensation for it. So that's the big bugaboo in all of this, obviously. That's what's the big question mark.
Miriam Marquez, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Miriam Marquez, immigration editor for the Miami Herald. She joined us by phone from her office in Miami. Last Thursday, we talked in depth about Cuba after Castro. If you missed that conversation, you can hear it online at npr.org.